All right, welcome back to another episode of the Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson, and I am once again coming to you from the Mississippi Delta. On today's episode, Ja Morant in trouble again with the NBA for the same thing, a gun incident. I'll be deep diving into all of that and sharing my thoughts on that. Travis Rudolph, an ex-NFL player who was on trial for a 2021 domestic incident that I'm going to deem was self-defense. I'll talk about that case and the verdict in that case. And also the 2024 presidential election. What's going on with the primaries? Who are the candidates, and what is the conversation for Black people? I'll be getting into that and all of the things on this episode of the Undisputed Politics. So let's get it. Let's go.
Welcome to an all new episode of the Undisputed Politics podcast, hosted by Robert Wilson Jr., coming to you from the Mississippi Delta. Robert is a millennial activist and Democratic political influencer. Episodes are available now on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Tune in as Robert shares his unapologetic views on the latest in sports, news, and politics.
All right, Ja Morant. I just recently turned 27 years old, and let me quickly look up Ja Morant's age. I'm sure he's not much younger than me. But what has bothered me about Ja Morant's 23 years old, so I'm 4 years, roughly about 4 years older than him. Well, let me preface this, my conversation on guns. I'm gonna preface this. I don't have a gun. I don't like guns. Guns scare me. I have family members who love guns. I support people in their Second Amendment rights. And I'll say that one of the major reasons I personally don't have a gun is because I struggle with my mental health. It's not necessarily that I'm extremely mentally challenged or anything like that. It's mostly because sometimes I know I go through bouts of depression, and that I have had in the past suicide attempts and suicidal thoughts. And so me personally, I just am responsible enough to understand that maybe having a gun isn't something that someone like me personally, it just isn't for me. And so if I need something to protect myself, I can easily get a knife or, you know, something like that, a taser or something like that. That wouldn't have the same effect as a gun. But me personally, I hate guns. Specifically, I hate assault rifles. I hate large scale guns. Now that I've prefaced that, let's get into this conversation with Ja Morant. So, I don't remember if I've talked about this in a previous episode, but I'm sure I have. The first incident with Ja Morant, he was in a strip club, waving his gun around in a strip club. You got people saying they don't see the issue. He didn't break any laws. He has the Second Amendment right. That's fine. And that's true. That's facts. It's not cap. But Ja Morant works for the NBA. That's the first thing. The second thing is, In what world do you feel like it's right for anybody to be in a strip club waving their gun around? Do people not understand the accidents that could have happened from that? What if he mistakenly pulled the trigger? What if he had dropped the gun and it mistakenly went off? Someone could have gotten shot and killed or injured. That's the first thing with that situation. But then the second thing is the fact that he works for the NBA, which is a private entity. And according to their rules, there are several different rules that they have regarding guns. Rules that state you can't have them on premises. You can't have them during at games and different things like this. Part of that reason is because there are so many mass shootings and different things like that happening. And so the NBA is focused on trying to make sure none of those things happen on their watch. So they have rules on those lines. But see, the gun situation for me also goes into this third thing. Ja Morant is accused of other violent incidents. You have an incident where he's accused of going to the mall to help his mom after somebody pretty much pissed her off at the mall. And this incident, I really should have waited to talk about this particular incident, because this incident ties into the next story that I'm going to talk about along with Travis Rudolph and his case. But you look at that and you have to understand the dynamics of that. You are a millionaire. You're working for this public company, the NBA. And you going to a mall to defend your mama? Do you not pay for security? Do you not pay for lawyers? If your mama felt there was a serious issue going on, call up the lawyers. Call up the security. But what you calling up your son to come down there for? To risk it all. That's the first thing. Now, second thing, he's accused of pulling out a gun on a teenager. I ain't gonna get too much in there, because that particular incident is more so of a he say type of incident. You know, the teen says this happened, Ja Morant camp says this happened. But quite honestly, with the things that are going on with him and this gun situation, we don't know who's telling the truth. Now, after the first situation happened, the NBA suspended him. If I'm not mistaken, it was for 8 games. And Ja Morant supposedly went to some type of facility to focus on his mental health. He was there for about 11 days or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. You do your own research and correct me on that. But he was at a mental health facility for about a few days. Supposedly he went there to figure out ways to better cope with his, you know, his feelings and all of those type of things. And I'm not sure if it actually worked, because here we are, second incident. So a few weeks ago, Ja Morant's friend was on live and they were in the car and they were doing like most people do in the black neighborhood, in the hood. They was riding around and bumping their music and, you know, turning up in the car like most people do in the hood. I'm not going to act like I'm not from the hood and I don't know and I haven't done it before. I've ridden in the car with my friends and we, you know, rode around the hood, bumping our music and just having a good time. And at some point during that time, while they was on live, someone in the backseat of the car handed Ja Morant a gun. And he waved it around all in the camera like he did at the strip club. And the friend quickly, as he should have, moved the camera out of the way. But you know how we are. This 2023. You know people quickly got a hold to that. People quickly started sharing it. And now the NBA is investigating yet again. And Ja Morant is possibly about to miss half of the season. There is conversation that Ja Morant could miss up to 40 games at the next of the next NBA season. Up to 40 games of the next NBA season. You heard me correctly. Up to 40 games. 40 to 50 games of the next NBA season. That's the conversation that's being had. You got people out here saying, well, he ain't break no laws. You got people out here saying, well, black people ain't got no Second Amendment rights. And, oh my goodness, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. This is a private entity. This is a private job. Then you got people comparing people having guns at the gun range. People having guns going hunting and saying that, well, they didn't get suspended. They didn't get nothing. They didn't get in trouble for having guns. And the question I have for these people are you dumb? That's no comparison. People who go hunting literally have several security precautions to their guns. People who go hunting are wearing a protection vest and camouflage, and they have to make sure their guns are secured and all of these things. That is in no way the same as Ja Morant riding around in his car with his homeboys, bumping their music and waving their gun around. And see, maybe it's because some people don't know the hood. Maybe it's because some people haven't lived in the hood. Now, see, I'm not a gangbanger. I'm not somebody who's been out in the street or anything like that. But I know people in the hood. My cousins are in jail. I have close family members who are in jail for these very things. And so I can tell you this about this situation. If he was riding through the right hood and you riding around waving your gun like that, he could have been shot. If he was riding around in the right community and some hood niggas seen him, and yes, I said niggas, if some hood niggas seen him with that gun like that, he could have easily been shot. So let's be clear. This whole thing about he ain't did nothing wrong and all this other stuff, let's be real. Let's be real. And then people say, and people are attacking people like Shannon Sharp who are just trying to help this man. Well, reach out to him privately. Shannon Sharp is on a damn opinion TV show. So if the topic's called for discussing Ja Morant, he got to discuss Ja Morant. That's how he get paid his check. That's how it has been. That's how it has always been. And so I'm not understanding the conversation people are having. Well, oh, Shannon Sharp is a coon. And it's crazy because he's on an opinion show. It's no different than this podcast. If I decide I want to have three topics, I want to discuss Ja Morant, Travis Rudolph, and the Biden in the 2024 election, I have to deep dive each one of those issues and give my opinion. And so it's crazy to me how people want to say, well, Shannon Sharp should just leave that man alone. He's obsessed with it. Shannon Sharp has to answer questions about what's going on currently in the media with sports. And so if the current conversation calls for talking about Ja Morant, then he got to talk about Ja Morant. And if Ja Morant don't want to be talked about, Ja Morant could simply not do things that would call for him to be talked about. He could just do like plenty other NBA, NFL, MLB, golf, hell, trap, all these other sports, you have plenty of athletes who don't post like that on social media. Because see, what you have to understand is social media is a brand, is a branding tool. See, when you're someone like Ja Morant, your social media is supposed to be a branding tool. When you're someone like Ja Morant, they're looking for your social media to be essentially like a TV network. Everything about what you do on that platform, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be aligned with the goals of whatever organizations you're working with. And Ja Morant is working for the NBA. He's getting paid millions of dollars. He just recently signed a 200 plus million contract with the Memphis Grizzlies. What that means is he's got to follow and be accountable to the rules of the organization that he's working for. And if they have policies around guns, if they have policies around the images that they would like their players to uphold, then they have every right to stop Ja Morant from engaging in the behavior that he has been engaging in. And people can get mad. People can talk all the mess that they want to talk. People can keep on with all it. And that's the problem with this generation. See, when we was growing up, we had older people who would tell us stuff and we had to listen. We may not see me personally from my experience growing up. I had older people in my life who would tell me stuff, and I may not have listened to them immediately, or I may not have taken everything into account when they first told it to me, but eventually I grabbed on to it. Eventually it got to me that I was wrong, and I listened. And I learned. See, the issue I have with Ja Morant and a lot of young people in this day and age, people don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want to be told that they are doing things that are not right with whatever organizations they're working with and different things like that. They want to do what they want to do. And society, this era of social media, this era of technology, is allowing people to do whatever they want to do. But see, the issue is, people have to understand, the NBA will move on without Ja Morant. So if they have an image they want to uphold, if they have a policy that they want to uphold, it's nothing to move on without a player like Ja Morant. It's nothing to move. I'll even go to say it's nothing to move on from a player like LeBron James. He's 38 years old. If a player like LeBron James is doing what Ja Morant is doing, and they want to uphold their image about guns and the policy on guns, it's no issue for them to go ahead and move along from LeBron, because LeBron is nearing his retirement anyway. So for people to act as if there's no reason for Ja Morant to be accountable. And see, another thing that's pissing me off with this situation when it comes down, he's not taking it serious. You are about to squander millions of dollars. There are young boys right now who are in the community, in my community, who are working hard day in and day out to get the opportunity to go play at somebody's college and possibly one day get the opportunity to make it to the NBA. to uplift their family out of poverty, to uplift their family to a better life. You made it. And instead of you doing the simple things like not posting your on social media, not letting people around you post on social media with your gun waving around, instead of you doing that simple thing, you taking it for granted. You want to do what you want to do. You want to act like you don't understand that these people have policies and they're going to hold you accountable. And then you have people who are cheering you on and going along with this, and they're not the ones that's going to lose this money. They're not the ones who had people praying for them. They're not the one who was praying yourself, because I'm pretty sure you was praying yourself for this opportunity. So with that being said, I'm not going to let this get me riled up and it start to rile me up, because I personally know too many young men who are working hard to get to Ja Morant's position. And so for him to continue to be ignorant to this situation, it bothers me, because there are so many people who would kill, literally kill, to be in his position. And he's willing to squander that because he don't want to do the simple thing like not post him wagging his gun on social media. So that's my thoughts on that. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back on this episode of the Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson. And we'll be discussing Travis Rudolph and the verdict in his case up next on the Undisputed Politics.
On February 14th, 2018, students at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School experienced one of the deadliest school shootings in U.S. history. On March 24th, they led the largest youth-led protest since Vietnam. And nothing has changed.
I keep seeing so many young people like asking, begging politicians to just give a f-, to just care, to just talk about it just a little bit.
Since then, we've seen over 170,000 more lives lost to gun violence. And this is your response?
In this terrible tragedy, we send our thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Each of these body bags represents 150 lives. That's people's families, friends, loved ones.
And not a single piece of federal legislation to end this crisis.
How many more thoughts and prayers are you going to give us until we start acknowledging the fact that thoughts and prayers in this country have become deadly?
I guess your tweets didn't work. So what's your plan now?
All right, welcome back to this episode of the Undisputed Politics. So continuing with today's episode, I want to talk about this situation with ex-NFL player Travis Rudolph. So if you haven't been tuned in or you haven't been actively watching on social media, Travis Rudolph is an ex-NFL player. So pretty much he played football at Florida State, was briefly playing in the NFL, but then he was charged with murder and also manslaughter as well. He's 27 years old, so we're around about the same age. Well, not round about. We are the same age. Pretty much what happened with this case is Travis Rudolph was involved with his girlfriend, Dominique. His girlfriend, Dominique, is a married woman. Literally is a married woman. And so pretty much she had went through his phone. She saw that he had been talking to some other women. And she got angry, like most people would. Pretty much what had happened was, after she got angry, they were apparently
from all that I've seen, they were going home to his house or wherever they were going. And she pretty much started doing what a lot of women do. She started hitting on him and being abusive towards him after he had cheated, allegedly. And pretty much what she did was, after that the incident happened, she ended up calling her brothers and was pretty much like, you know, he hit me. And I'll dive into the rest of it after I finish explaining the story. But pretty much she called her brother, said that he hit her, and told her brothers to come handle the situation. And pretty much there's text messages and phone records and all type of evidence saying, stating that she told them to pretty much come shoot his shit up. And that's what they did. They came to shoot his shit up. And when they pulled up to shoot his shit up, they was not expecting him to stand his ground. And that's pretty much what he did. Stood his ground. He started shooting back. The conversation was, with the trial was, well, he was shooting back, but was he in a legitimate threat? Because he was shooting back, and were they shooting at him at the time that he was shooting back? Were they running away? So how could it be self-defense if they were running away? But the problem with that is, the prosecution show how, even though they may have been running away, they still had their guns with them. They were still able to shoot back at him. So yes, he was in imminent danger. And yes, he had every right to protect himself from those men pulling up at his house and trying to kill him, pretty much. And so the thing that has got a lot of people in an uproar and got a lot of people conversating about it is, a lot of people is wondering why the sister and the brother and the friends that did not get killed, why they have not been charged, and why they are not on trial. Now, I'm going to share my opinion. I'm not a misogynist. I try not to be misogynistic. I try to understand. I try to understand all sides of situations. I support women. I believe women, but I'm critical. So if you come out and say somebody raped you, I'm not saying that you need to provide proof, but the information that you do provide needs to be credible. Because accusations hurt people. And so I'm one of those people. And I catch a lot of flack for it. Because there are a lot of times when people are like, believe women at all costs, no matter what. There are times when people feel like women shouldn't be held accountable in abusive situations. There are people who say, well, yeah, she hit him, but he physically abused, he mentally abused her by cheating on her. But we're just going to look over the fact that this lady is a married woman. So with that, let me share my opinion. It pisses me off that we live in a time where there are women who do bullshit like this young lady did. When you get into it with somebody, when you get into it with your man, when you get into it with the hood bitch in the neighborhood, when you get into it with another nigga, you ain't got to call your brother. Where have we come to a point where it's okay for people to be so angry? It is okay for people to do things so out of spite to the point where it ends up getting people killed and no charges is brought against them. At the very least, she deserves to be given a civil suit or something for a wrongful death, because she is directly responsible for the young man losing his life. He went over there to kill this man, not thinking that this man was going to properly stand his ground. When in actuality, if she felt like she was truly in danger, she felt like this man truly had hit her, or she was in some type of domestic dispute or something like that, she should have called the police. You don't call your brothers to go handle him. You call the police. But let's be clear. This is a situation that happens all the time in the Black community. And it's one of those situations that's very common and we don't talk about it enough. Just like we don't talk about our uncles that be raping the little children, and we don't talk a lot about our family members who engage in things that they shouldn't engage in. We try to push things under the rug a lot. We try to uphold people like R. Kelly, Bill Cosby. And so with this situation, this is a common thing. It happens all the time. Nay-Nay get into it with Lil Jon Jon. Is cheating on her. She don't like he cheating on her, so she done went over there and bust the man tied and bust the man windows out of his car and hitting all on the man. Next thing you know, the man push her or something like that. She calling her brother. Now her brothers are upset. Her brothers is ready to beat his ass. Now him and the brother into it all summer. They done been into it all summer. Next, before you know it, now they done had a shootout. Somebody end up dead. And it all leads back to the young lady calling and provoking her brother to be engaged and involved in that bullshit. When improper, what one should do is call the police, get a restraining order, or leave the person, move on. Stop engaging in toxicity. And I don't understand, so what's with this generation of mine? Millennials, Gen Z, what's with our generation? And we love toxic relationships. We love it for a man to be cheating on us, and then we go get a gun and we go cut up with him. We fighting all the time. Fighting and fucking. Excuse the language, but that's what we enjoy. Fighting and fucking. We love the fighting and fucking. We love it. Fighting and fucking. It's sad. Sickening. It's pitiful. It's not good. And in this particular case, it led to a man's death. It shouldn't have had to in that way. That man shouldn't have to defend himself like that. Because she could have just left him. She could have just went home to her husband. She could have just left that man alone. But because of her direct actions, because she called these people to come over there and handle that man, to shoot his shit up, someone ended up dying. So to the victim's family, if y'all truly want justice, the best way to truly get justice, sue her. Go down to the prosecution, the prosecutioner's office, and ask them why they haven't charged her. Why hasn't she been charged with conspiracy to commit murder? Why hasn't she been charged with sending your son over there? With sending your baby over there to that man's house to shoot that man? Those are the facts. That is what needs to be investigated. And quite honestly, it needs to happen more often. Because black men are dying every day over situations just like that. Like I said, Nene calling Lil Jun, getting into it with Lil Jun Jun and calling her brother and her cousins and things to go over there and handle Lil Jun Jun. Then the next thing you know, they into it all something. And it happens all the time. And black people can act like it ain't happening, but it happens all the time. So that's all I got to say on it. I'm happy that this man was found not guilty. I hope that we know how the NFL is. We know that they are not forgiving. But I hope that he's able to get some form of job. I hope he's able to at least go into coaching or something like that, where he's able to get back to being into football, get back to being into what he's passionate about. And maybe they'll give him a documentary or something. Maybe he'll make some kind of money or something. And it's sad that is something you have to wish for, but hopefully he gets a documentary or something, because he needs to be financially recuperated, because this man has lost out on millions of possible dollars by being in the NFL to have to deal with this for at least the last 2 years. So hopefully he's able to, you know, recoup himself financially. And I hope and pray that he is. So that's my thoughts on that. Lastly, I want to talk about the situation with the 2024 presidential election. And so I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on this episode of the Undisputed Politics podcast with your boy, Rob Wilson Jr. And when we get back, we'll be discussing the 2024 presidential election. Be right back.
America, land of the free. It's at the core of who we are. Freedom. The freedom to live without fear, to drive through all 50 states, to sleep safely in our own beds, the freedom to jog where we please, to watch birds in the park, to wear a hoodie, the freedom to breathe. Before we celebrate the freedom most Americans have, we must fight for the freedom all Americans deserve. Because no matter your religion, gender, disability, age, race, all lives can't matter until Black lives matter.
All right, so I'm going to briefly discuss the 2024 presidential election. I'm not going to spend more than 5 to 10 minutes on this, because I'm going to simply state this. People who follow me on social media and look for my political opinions, and people who are pretty much in tune with the things that I post and come in and talk about, I'm not going to do it this go around. I'm not going to engage with people. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate, because Biden and Kamala Harris have stated that they are going to run for re-election. It has been typical for the controlling party to not really too much engage in primaries and different things like that, unless the candidate of choice is just completely terrible. In Biden and Kamala Harris's case, they haven't been completely terrible. They've done some things. They've had some accomplishments. Are their accomplishments perfect? Nope. Have they done everything? Nope. Are they still struggling on things like voting rights, gun control? Yep. Is Kamala Harris doing everything that we thought she would do for Black people? Not really, but she's doing some things. And so I had this conversation on Twitter a couple of times. We got to stop playing games politically. We got to stop doing it. Because, see, we keep on playing these stupid-ass games when it comes down to politics, and it pisses me off. And that's the reason why I got to cuss. Because, see, Black people, for some reason, y'all don't understand unless somebody's cussing. And so if you're listening to this podcast, I feel like I got to cuss. Because in this particular case, I feel like we keep playing stupid-ass political games, and we keep ending up in stupid-ass spots. In 2016, we played this stupid-ass game by saying that, it was so many Black people who said they were not going to go vote for Hillary Clinton because, one, they didn't want a woman. Two, they didn't want Hillary Clinton specifically because, well, she did this on that and she just wasn't the perfect candidate. But you had a nigga that was out here that was blatantly being racist in Donald Trump. You had a motherfucker that was out here being openly racist to your motherfucking face. And instead of choosing Hillary Clinton, somebody who not necessarily was being openly racist to your face, I mean, she's done some things in the past. She had a wishy-washy record on racism, on Black issues. But when you look at that and compare it to a motherfucker that was out here saying, grab women by the pussies, that was talking about Mexican people and calling them all type of degrading-ass names, who didn't want immigrants coming to this country, who was somebody who was ready to go and strip all of your abortion rights away, your voting rights, and everything else that's rightfully yours in this country. And you knew, most people knew the consequences. Most people. And I'm also tired of the conversation that a lot of activists have, a lot of organizers have, and they try to say that people don't know. People are informed. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. The data shows that people are informed. People are on social media all the time. They see what's going on. They see that we have two options. It's no excuse anymore. When it comes down to voting, there are two options when you get to the ballot booth. When it comes down to president. Now, when it comes down to your state senator, when it comes down to your local elections and your state houses and all of those things, yeah, you might have some separate options. But when it comes down to the president, you got two options. And that's just the way it's been. You either going to get a Republican or a Democrat. You're not going to get no independent. You're not going to get no third party. So Black people need to stop playing the game that somehow a third party candidate is going to win a damn election when there are several states that don't even allow these third parties to be on the ballot. There are several states who don't even have access for these third parties to be on the ballot. And in order to win the presidency, you got to win the Electoral College, which means that you're going to have to win a state like California. You're going to have to win a state like Texas. You're going to have to win a state like Florida. You're going to have to win in places like Mississippi, Tennessee, Ohio. You're going to have to win these states. Kansas, Oklahoma, you're going to have to, Oklahoma, New York. You are going to have to win these places because you're going to need every single Electoral College vote from these states, because you're going to have to get to that 260, if I'm not mistaken, it's 260, but you're going to have to get there. And the only way you can get there is by winning states. You got to win them. And if you're not on the ballot in the states, you can't win. Now, that's the way the system has been set up. Now, you got people that want to say the problem is, the two parties. The problem is the people that support the two parties. It's not that I support two parties. I, for one, want more parties. I love the Libertarian. The Libertarian Party is the closest thing to a third party that I would ever vote for, because they are about liberation. I support some of the policies of the Libertarian Party. And that is a party that is actively focusing on ballot access. In the states where they are active, they are pushing for Democrats and Republicans to give more access to third parties. And that's what we should be doing. If you want to come back the two-party system, that is what you should be doing. You should be pushing for the people that are already in office to change the laws to allow for more two-party systems. I mean, you know, more for more third parties to be allowed on the ballot. But you're not doing that. People want to usurp the two-party system, but we don't have time to play those stupid games. We played that stupid game in 2016. You had people voting for Harambe as a write-in candidate. You had people out here writing in the most stupidest shit on the write-in ballot, writing in Martin Luther King Jr., writing in dead people because they didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. And then look what it got us. We ended up with Donald Trump. Then you have some people who are okay with the fact that we ended up with Donald Trump, and that's fine. If that is the choice that you wanted, fine. But for the majority of Americans who went to the polls, because Republicans have not won the popular vote in any of the previous past elections. Let's get that clear. The majority of people who went to the polls, we did not want Donald Trump. We went to the polls because we wanted a president who was going to be there for all people. We wanted one that wasn't going to be up in there trying to strip every right away from the people. Now, was Hillary Clinton going to be the best president? I don't think so. She probably wasn't. But she damn sure was better than Donald Trump. When we go into 2020, was Biden? Did I expect Biden to be the best president? No. If you've been listening to this podcast, you can go back to my episodes when I first started this podcast. I was very critical, and I said that Biden was who we thought he was. When Kamala Harris checked him at that debate, I said that Biden was going to be who we thought he was. And so far, he has proven to be who we thought he was. He's a moderate. He believes in the soul of the country. And that's okay for somebody like him because he's not black like us. He don't have to endure the things that we have had to endure in this country to the point where we sometimes may hate this country. He didn't have to endure that. And so we have to understand that. Now, I'm all for holding him accountable. I don't get mad at people for holding him accountable. But when it comes down to 2024, there's no real candidates on the damn ballot in the primaries. You got Kennedy who's out here talking crazy, and he was talking all that nonsense during when we had COVID going on. You got Marion Williamson out here. She's just cuckoo in the head. She barely got votes in the damn 2020 primaries. Then you got Cornel West running with that stupid ass party. He over there running for the People's Party or whatever you want to call it. And they experiencing the same thing that most third parties are experiencing. They don't even have ballot access in most of the states. So how the fuck you gonna win the damn Electoral College if you're not even on the damn ballot in most of these states? It's a scam. It's an attempt to usurp the process, to usurp what is going to happen in 2024. Now, I'm going to give a bold prediction right now on what's going to happen. What's going to end up happening in 2024. By then, you know, Trump may be arrested, indicted, and prosecuted, and all that good stuff. Maybe in prison. We never may know. But the Republican primary is going to happen. And whoever they choose, they may choose Mike Pence. They may choose Ron DeSantis. They may still end up choosing Trump. But whoever they choose in that Republican primary is going to be the next president. And it's going to happen because black people are playing this stupid ass game that we played in 2016, trying to say that we need to usurp the process. We need to break the system and do all this, then the third with the system. But what we really need to do is we need to play the damn game that the system is giving us. People talk about the Democrats, the Republicans, this, then the third. If you really want to reform this system, you got to take what you can get and play the game. The game that we got right now, we got a two-party system. The majority party that really fucks with us is the Democrats. And so what we need to do, and what I propose that we do as a Black community, I propose that we get more involved in the Democratic Party. The young voters need to be more involved at the local level. Get involved. It's time for us to take over some of these state executive committees. Get some of these old heads out of here. And then when we start electing people, we need to elect people who are for term limits, because term limits is the big thing. We need to term limit some of these people out of office. You have people that have been sitting in Congress 40 years, 20, 30, 40 years. These people need to be out of office. And only then can we start having conversations about how do we really change this country. But see, we can't just say usurp the process, because at the end of the day, us not voting is only going to continue to play into the system. Because at the end of the day, according to the Constitution, a president will be sworn in regardless if we vote or not. A president will be sworn in. And so the best thing we can do is elect a president that has at least some of our interests at heart. And in 2024, we know from all things accountable right now, what has happened over the last couple of years, that person will not be a Republican. And so the only option that we have is a Democrat. Whether that person is Biden, whether it might end up being Kamala Harris, the only person we have is a Democrat. We can play the stupid game if we want to and end up with another Republican, and we'll just have to suffer the consequences. But I hope that Black people are smarter than that. I hope that we don't fall into this same trap that we've fallen into before, and we end up stuck with a president and an administration that don't give a damn about us or anybody else other than white billionaires, white men, and sometimes white women. And so with that being said, I thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson. And I'm going to conclude my episode for today. That's my thoughts on it. That's how I feel about this particular situation. I hope that what I have said today inspires somebody to go get involved in your local party. Go get involved in the local organizations that are helping people register to vote and be involved. Hell, some of the people that have the credentials, go run for office. Because we got to stop sitting on our ass complaining about the system while not participating and playing the game of the system. So, thank you. And we're out.